Well, Australia has one of the world's oldest cultures, and NAIDOC Week is always a chance to acknowledge and celebrate that and the achievements of Indigenous Australians. NAIDOC Week is fast approaching again, usually in June each year. Let's revisit, though, who joined us last year. It was a really delightful interview. Robbie Buck welcomed Indigenous TV presenter Layla Guruwiwi to the Life Matters studio, and you'll know Layla from NITV's popular Mangruk footy show.
Yeah, well, I was born at Gove District Hospital, which is in Nullumboy, which is the main township, and Yirrkala is one of the remote communities outside of Nullan. And yeah, that's where I was born. I'm one of eight children, four boys, four girls.
What number are you in?
I'm number four.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm smack bang in the middle. Me and my little sister, we're the middle children, so to speak. And so I was born up there, and yeah, one of eight children. And I grew up on Elko Island, Galawinku, a little community on Elko Island.
Elko Island's become very famous as well, hasn't
it? Yeah. That's obviously where Gurumul's from, and also the Chooki dancers. Quite a few people know who the Chookies are, and of course the East Journey Band as well. Mm. Got connections there, and also Yothu Yindi and David Wirpanda. There's all sorts of kind of connections. Nathan Chikura, he used to play for Geelong as well. So there's all family connections there as well.
But you didn't stay there, did you?
No.
You travelled.
I did, and I travelled quite far away from there, actually. When I was 18 months old, my mum and dad decided that they wanted me to have a better start at life. And, I ended up going down with a guardian to live in Bendigo in Victoria, which is quite a step away from northeast Arnhem Land.
Such a big move.
and that's where I basically grew up from there. Mm. Went to primary school and high school there and whatnot, and spent most of my life in Bendigo before I moved to Melbourne.
Did you go back home, you know, northwards a lot as a child?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. That's probably how I kept, obviously, my connection with family and whatnot. And when I was really, really young, I actually had a cousin that lived with me in Bendigo. So for a really long time, I didn't actually lose my language, Yolngu Matta, which is our traditional language. And but then he ended up moving back up to northeast Arnhem Land, so I just stopped talking. But I've always been able to understand it. But now that I'm older and I'm an adult, and I can go up whenever I feel like it. I'm also, you know, kind of connecting all those dots again, which is very integral, I think, for me.
Well, it shows that you're very patient as well, because before the show you were trying to teach me how to speak some of the words. And
that's all right.
Almost tearing your hair out at my pronunciations, and I apologise for those in advance. Why was it you that was chosen to head southward?
I have no idea. That's a great question. And when I do a lot of cultural awareness talks in schools down in Melbourne, a lot of kids actually ask me that question, because, you know, obviously pops in their head, well, if she was one of eight, why was she the one out of all the eight that got chosen? And, it's just one of those weird questions, and I answer them with, oh, you know, your guess is as good as mine, because I really don't know.
And what are your brothers and sisters, how did they respond to this, this sister who had grown up down south, who would come back from time to time?
You know, it's really funny, because lots of people ask me that, and also ask me what it's like, you know, having a home down here and a home up there and being so far away from home. But the thing is, I've never had it any other way. That's my life. That's how it's been since I was 18 months old. And it's the same for them. Mm. They've always known that I was down here. And every Easter, Christmas holiday, school holidays, I'd come up and visit. So it's not as if it's strange for us.
Yeah.
You know, for other people looking in, it's kind of weird and all that sort of thing. But no, for us, it's just normal. And yeah, and for me, it's obviously did really, really good things. And, you know, I always say that mum and dad, like all of the other paths that I've led up to this point, all came about because of the decision that my mum and dad made when I was 18 months old, because I wouldn't be in the position that I am now if they hadn't have made that decision. So I thank them all the time.
Yeah, and it led to you to get into the media. Radio was the first step for you, wasn't it? How did that happen?
Well, I started doing radio training at 3KND under Grant Hanson, who's obviously the creator of the Mangruk Footy Show radio show.
Yep.
And, basically it was just my way of kind of coming out of my shell, because when I was quite young, I was, like a lot of Indigenous kids, very, very extremely shy. I didn't really talk to anybody. And radio was just, my vehicle of being able to come out of my shell more. And it was really good, because sometimes I'd be able to do stuff without someone actually physically being in the room. And then other times they'd bring in random people and they'd sit in with me, and I'd have to talk to them, obviously, and all that. So I learned how to do all that. And yeah, so it really, really helped me.
Because that comes from a background, when you started school, you understood English, but you didn't really speak a good deal of English, did you?
No.
Which must have been really confronting.
Yeah, well, the thing was I'd heard it, obviously, back up at Gullawinku, because there's Shepperson College and there's quite a few teachers, non-Indigenous teachers, that go up to work up there and they have children. So I would have heard it when my brothers were going to school, my three older brothers, but I didn't actually learn English. I only spoke Gakubingo, which is my mother's and my grandmother's language. And, so I didn't actually physically speak English until I started primary school down in Bendigo. So when I went to preschool and play school and whatnot, all these little non-Indigenous blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids would come up to me trying to talk to me, and I'd answer them back in Yolngu, and they just look at me very bemused and perplexed at what I was saying, because obviously it wasn't the answer that they were looking for. But but then my guardian came to school on my first day in prep and said to all of my fellow students that, you know, Layla's here and, you know, she really needs help. She doesn't know how to speak English properly. And how it really started was they just pointed at a whole bunch of stuff and I'd repeat after them what it was. And then from there, it was actually reading and writing and whatnot. And because I spoke Yolngu Mathur and that was my first language, I actually grew up with a stutter, because English wasn't my first language. And so then they had to put me into a special reading program to be able to read properly. And it's kind of worked out for me in the sense of what I do now. And also it's obviously sparked my love in novels and books and reading and whatnot as well. So, yeah.
You love novels and you love books and you love culture and all those sorts of things, but you also love footy a good deal. Tell us about the start of Mangrook, the footy show. Went from radio to TV.
Yeah. It's been on radio for quite a long time now, but Grant Hanson started the Mangrook Footy Show radio show. And for him, there was a very big underrepresentation of Indigenous players within the media at the time, not only on television but also on radio. So he just wanted to create an Indigenous show for us, a great way for media training as well, and a pathway for young Indigenous people like myself. And
you were into footy, weren't you?
I was. I've always been into footy. Yeah. My dad played footy and all my cousins and brothers played footy. And when I was little, I was a bit of a tomboy and I played all sorts of sports. And my main aim in life was to be better than all the boys at sports. And I tried really hard and I was pretty good.
I'm told Francis Leach, who is occasionally on Radio National and we hear him on other parts of the ABC, who loves his sport, loves his footy, tells me you've got a pretty deadly drop punt, apparently. Is that true?
I'd hope so. Yeah.
Robbie Buck in conversation with Indigenous TV presenter Layla Gurrawiwi today on Life Matters. This was part of a special Life Matters NAIDOC Week broadcast. And Robbie asked Layla about her uncle. Now, he's a man you'll know, the late Mr. Yunupingu, who of course was the much-loved lead singer of Yothu Yindi, who'd passed away just a month before this interview.
He wore many hats within the Yolngu community, and then also with his teaching and also with the band Yothu Yindi, he ended up becoming that bridge between two worlds and becoming that educator. And he was my ngapapi, that's what I call him traditionally, and he's my uncle on my mother's side. And the thing that I always say to a lot of people when I was growing up, the two things that I wanted to be more than anything in the whole entire world was the next Kathy Freeman or a backup singer in Yothu Yindi. And the reason for that was when I was 5 years old, that was in 1993, I was watching telly and I love music. That's another little part of my life that, you know, and I absolutely love music. And I was watching Rage and Treaty came on, and it was the first time I'd actually seen that film clip. And it was the first time in my whole entire life that I saw anyone that looked remotely like me on television. And even at 5 years old, it sparked this thing within myself and that understanding of, well, you know, if these people can be on television that look exactly like me, I didn't find out till later that they were related to me. You know, kinship's quite big and whatnot. And again, I was only 5 years old at the time, but I realised that if these people could be on television that looked exactly like me, then, you know, I can do whatever I want in life. And, so it was something that was sparked in me at really quite a young age. And, you know, and I always thank old man for giving me that belief within myself. by being that person that I could look up to in that sense.
Leila Gurrawiwi, speaking there about her uncle, the late Mr. Yunupingu, the celebrated, much-loved leader of Yothu Yindi, a very special man to Leila, as you just heard. And you can see a video of Robbie Buck's interview with Leila for Life Matters on the Radio National website. Look for RNTV and it'll be there. In fact, the whole NAIDOC Week broadcast is on the Life Matters website too. Just search our archive, abc.net.au/RN. Look for Life Matters as ever. Up next, for better for worse, that's the oath. What's the reality?